This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. It's Johanna James and I'm joined this week with the lovely
Alexa Wall.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Back Row and Chill. It's Friday. It's nearly the weekend. It's a beautiful day.
We've been having some really buff weather this week, haven't we?
I know. I'm just going to say I'm sat on my shirt really awkwardly. And like I can't lift my arm up.
It's all right. It's really relaxed on FUBAR Radio. Have a wriggle. Get comfy because we've got 2 hours.
A shuffle.
There you go. I've done it. Yes.
Done. Comfy? Comfy arse?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Well, welcome to Back Row and Chill. We have got a full packed show for you today. We've got lots of guests coming up in the studio and on the phone. We've got competitions. We've got all the latest movie news and gossip that we can pack into the show. So stay tuned. And I have prepared this week a lot of some really good music. I've been focusing mainly on some 90s teen movie hits.
Yes.
So we're going to go back.
Oh, yes. I'm excited.
Go back in time. Have a bit of vintage.
So I love a bit of 90s.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to start off. Oh, right. Let's start off with some Gangster's Paradise by Coolio. Because, and you know, this song, it was number one in the 90s for something like 17 weeks. Or something
really?
Incredible. Yeah, it just couldn't get it out of charts. It is super addictive.
It's very Coolio.
No. The only
that was
thing,
horrendous.
No. The only, I love your bad jokes. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. The only thing about this is that whenever I listen to it, I just think of I hear the Weird Al Yankovic parody of Gangster's Paradise. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
Okay, YouTube that if you want a bit of a giggle. Weird Al Yankovic. Okay, here we are. We're going to set off. The weekend is about to begin.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Been spending most of the night.
Look at the situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the state, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker. And my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life, do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things is going, I don't know.
Tell me why.
After minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking. It's going on in the kitchen, but I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
Keep spending most of our lives living in the gangster's paradise.
just thought I'd join in there.
Bloody hell.
Oh, hold on. I've still got my hearing aid in and it like reverbs on all the... There we go. There we go.
Ta-da.
Got me headset
You've
back
done
on.
It. You've done it.
Welcome back. It's Back Row and Chill. It's Johanna James and I am joined this week by the lovely Alexa Wall.
Hi.
Who's a very old friend.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not old. We're just...
I am old, actually. No. I'm pushing 30 now.
No.
I'm not. I'm actually 24, but I feel like I'm pushing 30.
Anything over 21.
That's exactly. It. Exactly. Anything over 21, you're like, crap.
This is the beginning of the end. Or is it the end of the beginning? I don't know. If you want to get involved with us today... Oh, that sounds a little...
Ooh. Yeah, don't do that.
You know...
I mean, I am single. No, I'm kidding.
If you want to chat to us, tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email into the show, chill@fubarradio.com. We will shout you out. Let us know what you're up to. I just noticed then I didn't I'm noticing now.
Oh,
I've got to try and not
I was too busy like was that me? No. Oh yes.
Was it? Oh, it was me.
Oh my god. I mean, you're just having a great time, aren't you? You're doing really well.
I'm all over the shop. Can I start again?
7 minutes in.
And I fucked it. No. Yeah, so get involved if you anything. Talk to us about anything. We once had a guy asking us what our favourite cheese was. We were like, okay, we'll take it. But ideally, something to do with movies or theatre or TV. Tell us what you're liking.
Or your Tinder profiles.
Or Tinder. That's technically entertainment.
Yeah. I only think of that because I went on a really awful Tinder date the other day.
Do tell.
I paid for all the drinks.
Oh, no. Okay.
I mean, I'm all for this whole feminism, we both pay for things kind of shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I went to the bar, I paid for the drinks, I then drank the pint, I then got another... It was just awful. And then this dude told me he was in a fraternity and, like, made all the pledges, like, try and fuck a goat, and it was just terrible.
You're like, can I have that £3.50 back for my... For my beers?
I spent 50 quid. I know.
How many beers did you get? Or where were you drinking?
I don't know. I was drunk when I got there. I turned up drunk.
Alexa Wall, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everyone.
My canon lady. You can take me drinking for that. I'll give you probably a better time than him.
All right. Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, actually, talking about Tinder, so this week, my boyfriend on Facebook, he found his old Tinder profile and he posted it on Facebook for a laugh. The status was, mate, how do you slay so much on Tinder? And he said, funny gets funny. And then he showed his, because he had a really ridiculous, like super ridiculous Tinder profile.
Right.
I didn't meet him on Tinder. And I think if I had seen it, probably would have swiped left. Just saying.
Oh dear.
You look mental. Right, so should we get into a bit of entertainment news?
Go with it.
Because there's so much happening right now in the world of film and TV and, you know, all of that.
Can I bring something up about film, please?
For sure. This is the space where you would do that.
Beauty and the Beast.
Have you seen it?
I cried solidly for 2 hours. You think I'm over dramatising this? Everyone's like, no, you didn't. Like, come on. I actually physically did, to the point where I looked like I had pink eye at the end of it because my eyes were so red.
I believe you, because I know, knowing you, I know how much of a Disney fanatic
I am.
That you are.
I mean, I'm not one of them weird ones. I mean, I look quite normal, I would say.
But in my head,
yeah, I'm an absolute maniac.
You do have a sort of second home in Disneyland, don't you?
Yeah, so. I've got a year ticket to Disneyland Paris.
And you're how old?
I mean, I'm pushing 30, apparently. No. This is going really well.
No, Beauty and the Beast.
I feel like, you know, if this was like, if I was kind of, I don't know what I'm saying, like, for all the dates out there, I'm like, yeah, I'm pushing 30, I'm a Disney fanatic.
I like
I'm
that.
I'm just a drunk all the time.
A drunk Disney fanatic.
I've really welcomed myself well here.
Bing, bing, bing. Look, oh my God, your phone is on fire.
Oh, it isn't.
From Tinder alerts.
I wish. Even the group chat's gone quiet. I said, oh, hi, guys, let's all listen to the radio. No, everyone's gone quiet. Idiots. Sorry, carry on.
Shitty group chats. Right, no, I did love Beauty and the Beast. I loved everything about the film, apart from Emma Watson.
Why?
I just...
So basically the whole point of the film.
I know, the main bloody character, right?
Yeah.
It's not that I don't like Emma Watson. Well, actually, no, that's not true. I just don't like Emma Watson. But also, she got one of the most ultimate Disney girl roles ever.
Yes, she did.
And I didn't feel like she did anything with it. She's beautiful to look at.
She did, though.
No, like musical theatre-wise, in her songs, she was just walking along and I felt like she was terrified to do anything, to do any gestures or anything. Like Gaston, when he was singing from the belly up, like, you know, from the whole, the cock upwards.
Oh, it was, yeah. It cock was and all, balls was all in there,
it was
wasn't
all
it?
There. I could totally feel that.
Careful.
Not the balls, but, you know. Anyway, go see Beauty and the Beast. No, but
Johanna could feel all the cock and balls of Gaston, apparently, to go and see it.
He was hot. He was... Apart from the fact that he was a total dickhead.
Yeah.
But, like, visually...
Kind of fancied LaFoy a bit. I'm just joking, I didn't at all.
He's gay, though.
Yeah, so I know.
Good luck.
Not got a chance there.
Well, talking of Disney, actually. So Disney are being sued by a Hollywood producer at the moment. Yeah. Because Zootopia, who won the Oscar for the best animation this year. So apparently this Hollywood scriptwriter and producer, he pitched Zootopia to them 17 years ago. And they didn't take it. But then they've nicked it. Because he can produce, apparently, evidence to say that it's an almost verbatim script, almost identical storyline. He pitched them an idea about this magical
animal world. What is Zootopia about? I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, you would love it. You really? Absolutely love it. It's set in a world where animals, they live in this city called Zootopia, or Zootropolis, if you're in... England. They changed the title for England, America. And it's about this little bunny, tiny little bunny, who wants to be a policeman.
Normal.
Woman, policeman, woman. What's the... I don't know what the thing politically correct bunny term is for that. But, and so she makes it in the... She goes in the city and she makes it and she gets... There's like a missing persons case. And it's basically... They live in a world where predators and... What's the opposite to predator?
Prey?
That's the one.
Yes!
Are friends. But there's this like weird virus going around that's turning predators.
This sounds awful.
Back into predators. No, it's brilliant. And it won the bloody Oscar for the whole thing. It was so funny, like consistently funny. Mm-hmm. But the point is Disney's being sued, so...
Great.
You know, but not that... I mean, I guess Disney can be sued for whatever the fuck they want. Because,
well, yeah, because they're just loaded. It's not, the thing is, what really upsets me is that Disney actually isn't Disney anymore. Like, it's basically just a multi-billion pound corporation.
They're just buying.
Like, none of the Disney family are actually involved in Disney anymore, you know?
Yeah, they're all... They're
it's terrible.
It's bought out.
Yeah.
And it's just... They're just buying...
She says Disney fanatic. Idiot.
Buying Star Wars, buying Indiana Jones.
I don't like Star Wars, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're not a Star Wars fan?
No.
Why not?
I've never seen it.
Then you don't know if you're a fan. You could be a massive fan. Not even like the recent ones.
No.
Right. Stand over there. Time out.
Shall I go in the naughty corner?
Time out in the naughty corner, Alexa. I don't know. What are you guys thinking out there? Are you Star Wars fans? Are you Disney fans? I feel like if you grew up on Disney...
Sorry, what?
You have like a weird... Grew up.
Yeah.
If you grew up on Disney...
I wasn't listening, I'm sorry.
You thought I said threw up on Disney.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
maybe you've thrown up at Disney World. I don't know. Let us know what you think about it, because I have a huge soft spot for anything Disney. Mm-hmm. And Disney World, Florida, is pretty much my favourite place in the entire world.
I want to get married there.
It's my happy place.
I'm just telling everyone my future plans today.
Okay, she's ready. She's ready to get married, Disney style. They have, like, a chapel there and
yes,
everything.
Yes, I know. I've priced it up and everything, and it's not actually that expensive. It's, like, 15 grand.
Now I know...
I actually should be put in a loony bin.
I now know why your Tinder dates went...
Shit.
Right, back to some entertainment.
Yeah, just talk over me.
Young Mariah Carey. So Mariah Carey's famous Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas Is You,
right,
is going to be turned into a movie.
Well.
It's all about a puppy that... Or a young Mariah, and all she wants for Christmas is a puppy, and they're going to make an entire movie out of that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. This is what they're pumping money into nowadays.
Brilliant. That sounds shit.
The Terminator sequel that was going to be in production has been dropped by its own producers.
Surprise.
The own producers went, it's actually shit, so we're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's correct. And it was shit.
Well, they were saying that it's to do with, like, not getting the right script, but we all know it's because
it was shit.
Arnie is now like 104 and it's just gonna turn into like
Arnie for president, can I just say.
I would totally vote.
Oh, I can't vote for him, I don't live in America. If I was American, I'd vote for him.
Yeah, I want Terminator.
I am quite clever, I promise.
But I like Terminator, but yeah, he's getting up. There's only so much CGI they can do to backtrack him back
very
into
true.
So yeah, and also if you're a Deadpool fan, Michael Shannon has been tipped to play in the Deadpool sequel, to play the mutant Cable. So there was all this huge buzz about Deadpool 2, because I'm a big fan of Deadpool. Did you see it?
I watched 15 minutes of it and fell asleep.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, it's so disappointing.
I mean, I was a bit intoxicated.
That's why.
Yeah.
No, you'd love, if you actually sit and watched it sober, it would be brilliant. okie dokie. Right, so going back to my 90s teen movie musical playlist,
yeah.
I'm going to go for, from the Cruel Intentions soundtrack.
Oh.
Going to go for a bit of Fatboy Slim.
Love it.
This is Praise You on Back Row and Chill. So smooth. Could have done that better. Well, you're listening to Back Row and Chill with Johanna James, and Alexa Wu is my co-host.
Never gonna do that again.
What was that?
I don't know. I've just noticed, right? I'm just gonna say this just because I have no shame. So on Twitter, on the FUBAR Radio Twitter, there's a picture of me and Johanna. I'm doing the peace sign, my bra is showing, and it's got fake tan all over it.
hot.
Yeah.
Hot
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. There's like a button open or something, and I was flashing my fake tanned bra. I just thought I'd let everyone know. Go and zoom in, it's hideous.
Go and like it. Go and retweet.
It's disgusting.
Alexa's bra. Dirty bra. You could probably sell that.
It's not dirty.
Well, it's fake tan dirty.
Well, yeah. I'm not dirty, I'm very clean.
You know what I mean? Oh, there was something really funny I saw in the news this week. It's a reality TV show called Eden. Do you remember, like, a year ago, there being posters?
Is this where they went to the island for a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that? So, Channel 4, I believe, they sent, like, 20 people to an island. And the whole premise of the show was that you have to go and start a colony, like Eden itself and whatnot, whatnot. Anyway, what's happened is about 4 weeks in, the show was a total flop and they cancelled the show, but they didn't tell the people on the island that the show was cancelled. So they've just got off the island. Now it's a year later, March to March. And they've had to be told, by the way, you weren't on camera all that time.
Terrible.
And I how would you feel if you all that time you thought you were like on national television thinking that you're going to be like Big Brother?
I mean, I don't really know what I would do.
You'd be pissed.
I would, yeah, I would. I would definitely conjure up some form of revenge for the producers, because that is bad form, them not telling them.
Revenge
like,
porn.
Like, seriously, who thinks that? Revenge porn. Yeah, I'd probably leak everyone's sex tapes.
See what I mean? I would
because
be...
everyone apparently has one.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be very happy at all.
That I think it's kind of funny, but I don't think they'll see the funny side to that for a very long time.
Would you see the funny side?
No.
I mean, it is pretty funny, but I would be pissed off.
But I think, I don't know why it got cancelled. Maybe just because it was so boring.
Do you know what's really funny, though? Is that I was on 4AD the other day, and it's actually the most watched show now.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe it was a big publicity stunt.
Do you think?
Maybe.
No, I don't know. I hadn't heard of it. Right, so if you're a Game of Thrones fan, the promo has just hit the internet, like, yesterday. So get on your Facebook, get on your whatever you use to get on the internet, and Google the new trailer, because it's sexy as. And the news being that the only thing they confirm for the next series is that Jim Broadbent, National English Treasure, and Ed Sheeran are going to be in the next series.
I think Ed Sheeran's an extra, isn't he?
Do you think?
I think so. I've just completely made that up.
No, I think he's got a part.
I'm going to roll with it like it's true. He's an extra. I have sourceful information.
Just roll with it. Ed Sheeran, he's getting in everything. Like he's
got a massive scar on his cheek.
Thought you were going to say something else.
Oh.
Ed Sheeran has a massive
scar.
Scar. Yeah, he does, because he got hit in the face with a sword.
By Beatrice. Princess Beatrice. Right, I'm just going to tell the story if anybody doesn't know.
Okay.
Basically what happened is Ed Sheeran was at a party. Princess Beatrice was like, well, I'm a princess. And James Blunt was there. He wanted to be knighted. So Princess Beatrice rips a sword off the wall and goes to, like, you know, he bloody kneels down on one knee. She puts the sword over James Blunt's shoulder, lifts it up and swipes Ed Sheeran in the face.
She could have taken off his nose.
Yep.
Or his cock or something.
That bloody great story though, isn't it?
I mean, that is probably...
How did you get your scar? Well,
let's take a seat. That's got to be one of the best drunk stories. Anyone out there has a story that can beat Ed Sheeran's being sliced open with his face with a sword story, then tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email
in. Oh, hang on. I was just told that it wasn't Beatrice, it was Eugenie. Eugenie? Eugene?
Princess Eugene.
Eugenie. Is it Eugenie or Eugene?
Eugenia?
Prince Eugene. Anyway, just carry on. Leave me in the corner. I'm
Jeannie.
Fine.
Let's just call her Jeannie. Princess Jeannie. Yeah, if you have a tale to top that, please let us know. We will like read that. We'll shout you out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if I've got anything that beats that, but I just literally can't. Being my face slashed by royalty. Nope. Not happening. Do you remember the Oscar cock-up this year?
Yes.
The massive cock-up.
Yes, I did.
That was the Oscars.
I was there.
No, you were not.
No, I wasn't.
Front row. It was because of me. No. So they've had to rejig all the background backstage of the Oscars, because obviously they never want that to ever happen again. Mm. So now there is going to be a third person in the control room whose only job is to check that the right
no,
name is being
you're
read
joking.
Out. Yeah, so that they can just sniper in there and get it if
what?
Someone cocks up again. And no electronic devices are allowed backstage because apparently the people who were supposed to be in charge of the letters, they were on Twitter. And they kept tweeting and doing photos and like doing stuff backstage. So they're saying that obviously they weren't doing their job because they were too busy tweeting. So the wrong envelope got put in the wrong hand and whatever.
I would have done that as well, to be fair.
To be fair, yeah. And lastly, are you a fan of Tomb Raider? Lara Croft.
Sure. Yeah.
You're neither here nor there.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that important in my life, but it was all right.
Well, I never played the games because I was a bit young, I think, to get into the Tomb Raider the game. But I did like the idea of Lara Croft because she's like fucking kick ass.
Oh, absolutely.
I wanted to be Lara Croft, minus like the massive tits and stuff. But and then there was obviously the Angelina Jolie movies.
Yeah,
and I like that because Angelina Jolie is one of the only women in the world where I think, yeah, she could absolutely beat the shit out of me. Like, I totally...
Do you think?
Yeah. Well, no, not Angelina Jolie now, because she's a bit frail and a bit like... But back in the Tomb Raider days, oh my God, yeah, she could pack a bloody punch. And I've heard guys say that as well. Saying,
really?
I think that Angelina Jolie could possibly break
I think
my
I
leg.
Could roundhouse kick her in the face and knock her over.
If you do that, it would go viral.
Yeah. I might do it. I won't. I'm not going to do that. I'm a pansy.
Have a shot and go for it. And well, anyway, they're making a new Tomb Raider.
Oh, is she going to be in it?
No. Guess who's going to be Tomb Raider?
Oh, who?
Alicia Vikander.
Is that who's married to Michael Fassbender?
Are they married now?
Yeah.
They got married.
Oh.
Well, they're going out. They're shagging.
Yeah, that
okay.
thing, yeah.
Yeah.
They're fucking partners. Oh, Christ.
Friends with also lots of benefits and love. I don't know.
I don't know how I feel about that.
She's a very odd... I saw a photo. There's a promo photo of her as Lara Croft has come up. And the first thing, I hate to say it, but the first thing I do think, I go, she's got no tits.
Oh.
Which...
I can't say I've ever looked, if I'm honest.
What, like Alicia?
At her tits.
Yeah. I mean, beautiful, lovely little petite things. But she's stepping into the Lara Croft.
Right.
Who is kind of known for her... One... I just feel like she's kind of an athletic build plus tits.
Maybe that's quite a good thing.
So they're changing her up. I mean, Alicia, she's teeny. She's tiny, tiny, tiny.
Yeah.
I think she's about 5'1". She's tiny and she's very slender. And I just don't... I feel like I could sit on her kind of thing, which isn't quite what I was picturing for Lara Croft. So she... But she's a fantastic actress. So I'm going to like go open in the cinema and be like, you know what? Impress me, Vikander. Let's see what you got.
You know what? Thinking about it, she might actually be quite good.
Yeah, I'm like in two minds.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do we think? What are we voting? Who if you out there can think of anyone better to cast as Lara Croft?
Me.
Or Alexa or myself, let us know at FUBAR Radio or email in chill@fubarradio.com. I love getting an email, I feel super special. Last week we ran a competition, if you remember, which was to win a signed vinyl record, going old school, of the Brotherhood soundtrack, which was signed by Noel Clark himself, and we had two to give away, and I have got the winners in front of me, so I'm going to read them out. So have a little... Oh, I wish I had a drum roll. Do I have a drum roll? No, I don't. Thanks, Alexa. Thank you very much. Da, 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 da. So the winner is...
Shall I carry on?
No, we got it now.
Sorry.
It's Mike Pickstock from Cheshire. Congratulations, woo! Mike. So we're going to be posting you a vinyl. I wonder if he has a record player, though. That's the only thing.
Well, you wouldn't have entered the competition if you didn't, though, would you, really?
Yeah, if you didn't want it, you wouldn't have entered. So there you go. Or it could be like a really big tea cozy mat coaster. Ooh,
yeah, I was thinking, I could have think... No. I just thought of something and went, no, that's not suitable for radio. Carry on.
That's all right. Oh, no, but we can say quite a lot of food, Mark. Right, so I think that's it. So did you miss out? Don't worry, because we're going to be doing the same competition again. If you want to get your hands on a Brotherhood vinyl winning the same prize, then just go to our Twitter at FUBAR Radio. Right now, I'll give you a couple seconds right now to go. Just
1, 2, 3...
Boom, you should already be on your Twitter. Then go and retweet the picture and follow FUBAR, and we were going to announce two winners next week. So well done and congratulations. Now we are coming up to having our first guest in the studio. Yeah. We're going to be speaking to Urbane Wolf, who is in a play called Custody. Yeah. But first, we're going to go back to some Fatboy Slim.
Really? But,
yeah. The Fatboy Slim, he's appearing twice in this week's chart.
Bloody hell!
This is the Rockefeller Skank, which is from... Oh, I'm having to rack my mind for which movie this was from now. I think this is from She's All That. Do you like that movie?
Never seen
You've
it.
You've never seen. Oh, piss off. Piss off, Alexa. Get out of my studio.
Right about now. The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother. Right about now. The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother. Right about now. The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother. Right about now. The Funk Soul Brother. Right about now.
That was Fatboy Slim. You're listening to Back Row and Chill. We've got our first guest in the studio, so a huge, huge welcome.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm going to do my Snapchat.
Oh, you're going to be Snapchatting as well. You are alive.
On FUBAR Radio.
On FUBAR Radio.
Yay.
This is Urbane Wolf. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Hi.
And for anyone who doesn't know who you are, what you do, you can shout yourself out.
So, hi, I'm Urbane Wolf.
That's a really cool name, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Is that your real name?
Well, Urban is actually my real name, yeah.
That's sick.
But originally it's spelled with an I, so it's Urbain. It's French. Urban, but in
Can
French.
Can you say that one more time?
Urbain.
Yes. Urbain.
That sounded really good in my headphones.
I know.
And then, so Wolf is just a name that I put together when I was 18.
I love it.
Everyone says that my personality is a bit like a wolf.
Oh,
I don't know how to. Like,
no, I get it. I literally, my first tattoo was a wolf.
Oh wow, that's amazing. I love that.
Everyone thinks it's a transformer, yeah. But it's actually a wolf.
Yeah, see, I can tell it's a wolf.
Mm. Exactly, because you're part of the
wolf gang.
The wolf gang, exactly.
Oh, I feel left out now.
Go get a wolf tattoo.
Yeah.
No, I do. I've got like a wolf duvet cover. I'm a bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like me.
Okay. Yeah.
What is going on stuff, here? Yeah.
I think we're having a bit
it's
of
a whole
like
thing. Like, if you go on Instagram, and when I started calling myself Wolf, like there was like loads of other people with all these wolf pictures, and I realized it's a thing. Like,
it's like a proper little fetish gang, but not quite like that.
I don't know how to explain it. Yeah.
I quite like it.
Yeah,
love
I'm
it.
Gonna roll with that.
Yeah, you should. Join the team.
Although I told my mum once that I like things wolf, and then now that's all she gets me. She's like, I found you a mug and I found you a pen.
Oh my god, people do that, don't they? It's grandparents usually at Christmas. Yeah. You say you like one thing, like an animal, like a dog or something, and they buy you everything to do with that.
You've got the whole thing. So, Urbain. Oh, I want to say it in the French way. Urbain.
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 So I could listen to that.
Are you French?
Well, I'm from a French speaking country, originally from a country called Rwanda.
Cool.
Which is like, used to be a Belgian colony, and they speak French, so that's why.
So, do you speak French?
Not really. I can, but I really don't try to because it's just embarrassing.
Ça va?
Ça va bien.
Yes, I understood it.
Ça va. Okay, and you're here to talk to us today about a play called Custody.
Yes.
Which I've got to say looks really, really cool. So if you want to just talk a little bit about that.
You should come see it. So Custody is a play that I developed from 2015, 2014.
Okay.
I started developing it because it takes a while to develop a play. Mm-hmm. So how it came about was basically, like, I don't know if you guys were, you saw the London riots and stuff like that.
Yeah,
after that happened, Mark Duggan and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened was there was a lot of people on the news and, like, white middle class politicians and stuff like that saying, who are all these kids rioting and stuff like that? And obviously I wasn't involved in the rioting and stuff like that, but I knew that anger and I knew where that came from, so I just began to make a project that was going to explain to people who didn't know where that anger came from,
I get that,
what it was about. So I just started to research about it. I found out more stories of black people who had died in police custody, and I realised it's a thing that's happening, that happened since like the 60s when black people moved to this country, that they had been being killed by the police and nothing was being done about it, even to this day if a black person dies in police custody, and the police officers have used brutal force and it can be proven, they still wouldn't get convicted. And it's a thing where people think it's an American issue, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not just America.
It happens quite a lot here. I think that people think that it's only an American thing because of guns and because, like, they show it a lot on social media and stuff like that, but they don't know that it's happening in London, in the UK, right at your front door.
Because it doesn't make the news.
No, it doesn't make the news. And there's this whole big thing of, like, the police and, like, all the parties involved, the IPCC, who's supposed to investigate the police, they corroborate together to actually have this information. So that's why I wanted to create a project to bring it into people's eyes and for them to see it.
No, good on you.
It's based on a documentary called Injustice by this underground, like, activist group that make films and documentaries about, like, political issues. And they basically followed all these families who had family members die in police custody for over, like, 10 years and stuff like that. And they documented it, and like they just showed that in the span of 10 years nothing had changed in terms of like giving these people justice. And it's like, it's so painful for me because it's like when it's something like Hillsborough or something like that, when it's white people who've died in police custody, and the police, you can see the extent to which the police go to cover up things, but because they're white they will get the press, they will get justice in the end. But with black people who've died since the 60s to this day, nothing.
So this play here, I see on the little like PR for it, it says another young black man dies in police custody. Apparently no one's to blame. How in 2017 can that be so? Already I'm like, this is interesting. This is so how many people are in the play? Is it
It's four people.
Four.
It's me and three other actresses, amazing actresses. And basically the reason why I wanted to do that, which is mainly female characters, was because in this whole movement, when people are trying to get justice, is usually the female members of the families who actually do that. So it's based on people like Marcia Rigg, who's has a brother called Sean Rigg, who died in police custody in 2008 in Brixton Police Station, and Janet Alder, and all these people who had family members die in police custody, and they're the ones who fight for justice, who campaign and stuff like that. So it's mainly women, black women, who are activists and fighting for the justice and for people to be prosecuted, but people don't know that. So yeah, I wanted to highlight that they're the ones who are fighting and campaigning. So it's me and three other actresses, basically.
And have you had like much experience in putting on plays or being in plays before, or is this kind of like a new world?
So I have had experiences in terms of like being an actor in other people's plays, but this is my first ever play that I've produced by myself, in collaboration with a company called Faith Drama, and Oval House and stuff like that. So this is my first ever play that I've produced and put on and created from like an idea and made it happen kind of thing. And it hasn't been easy, but yeah.
Oh, it's going to be in Oval House in Kennington.
Yeah, it is on right now. We're just on our first week. So we had press night on Tuesday, preview on Tuesday, press night on Wednesday. Yesterday was the first like proper show. And then yeah, next week we have like, we have a Q&A today with the family members after the show. Yeah, so they're going to come and discuss. Yeah, so they're going to come and discuss about it. And on Tuesday, we have like another panel with different activists from people from different organizations, lawyers who are involved in these cases, with Gaudem. I don't know if you know about Gaudem.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they're hosting it. You should come. And I really wanted them to host it because they're female collective, feminist collective, and obviously this whole movement of fighting for rights is headed by black females. So I was just like, they're the right people to kind of host that kind
strong.
Of.
I think discussion. If ever I needed like a lawyer, I would want like a strong black female lawyer.
Yes.
We know the Oval House.
We do. We know it very well.
Oh my gosh, do you? Seriously?
We went to drama school together.
Did you guys go to drama school?
Yeah.
Is it where?
We went to the London School of Dramatic Art in Kensington, and we had our final like showcase at the Oval House.
Oh wow, amazing.
So we did the Laramie project there like a couple years ago, so we know the space.
No, it wasn't a couple of years ago. It was 5 fucking years ago,
Japan. All right, we're not that old. Yeah. It's fine. Yes.
Oval House is literally so amazing because it's like my play, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of no holds barred, and it talks about institutional racism and the fact that there's a lot of people in society, especially the middle classes, white middle class people, are quite apathetic about this issue and don't want to highlight it because they're complicit in it in terms of like...
Why not?
It doesn't affect you. Yeah. Don't talk about it. But people are dying every day, and that's my reality. And I try to explain to people, as a black young man in 2017 today, when I see the police, I have to cross the road so that if we have an encounter, it could possibly go wrong and I could die. And like, even though I have a license, I prefer not to drive because I will be stopped and searched so much.
Oh my God, terrible.
That's the reality of my life. And when it happens, I don't know where it's going to lead to. So I'd rather not drive. I'd rather get an Uber because... But I always try to say to people, it's so sad that...
That's so sad.
As a person living in 2017 as a black young man, that is my experience. Mm. And this has to be talked about and we have to... And it's difficult because it brings about... things where people have to question themselves, like, what have I been complicit to? What have I ignored that I see in the news every day or whatever? And it's like, and obviously it's British society and British culture is so polite that we don't want to talk about things that make us feel uncomfortable. It makes us feel like, oh my gosh, like, wow, like, I might not have said anything. I might not even realise that this is going on in my own space.
Yeah, I used to live in Brixton. Yeah. I had no idea someone died in Brixton police station.
They do that all the time.
Have you seen the music video this year from Krypton Conan? And Noel Clark, he wrote and directed it, and Jason Mazza, who was in Brotherhood. And basically the whole concept of their music video was they swapped the roles. It was like a white policeman who stopped
Krypton
Conan, and then they stop it and then they rewind it and they switch the roles so that then Krypton Conan, the police guys, and they're stopping the white guy, and they basically turn it on its head and say like walk on the other foot or whatever.
It's really good, really clever.
So check that out on YouTube.
No, definitely I will.
That's a really good one. So I really like this playing it. Hashtag who is Brian?
Yeah, who's Brian? So basically,
who is Brian?
Who is Brian? Basically, so the concept of the play, when I came up with the concept, I was like, it's basically about the families dealing with it. And when you watch them deal with it, that's when you know the experience and what it leaves behind and the extent to which it affects people. People, like a lot of the family members, are ill. They have high blood pressure. They develop all kinds of diseases or ailments because of the pressure of it and the fact that they never, ever get justice, regardless of how hard they might work to even create their own investigation, because the police tries to hide so much information when a person dies in police custody.
Yeah, of course, it's all just hidden away.
Yeah, so the families have to basically create their own investigation and and bring that to the courts, and the courts will still always throw it away. And they're all like ill because of that. It's very, very sad.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And if you've just joined us, we're speaking about the new play called Custody, which is on at the Oval House right now.
Woo!
So go check it out, go get tickets. And thank you so much to Urban Wolf for coming
in. Thank you.
This has been brilliant.
I can't believe you guys went to drama school and did a thing at Oval House.
And it's small world. Small world. And I got a wolf tattoo, but I messed buddies already.
Oh my God.
Okay, we're going to pop to a song and then we're going to have our next guest on the show. This is Love Fool by the Cardigans from the film. Any guesses?
Not got a clue.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, how did I not get that?
Dear, I fear we're facing a problem. You love me no longer, I know, and maybe there is nothing that I can do to make you do.
Love that song, love that film, Leo.
My love.
20-year-old Leo. I feel more and more pervy the older I get thinking about that.
But I don't.
He's hot. Right, we've got our second guest going to be joining us on the phone. This is Max Casella. He's going to be talking to us about the new play at the Royal Court Theatre, The Kid Stays in the Picture. Ooh. So if technology allows us, we're going to try and get him on the phone right now. Let's have a little look. Max, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yay!
Hi!
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Fantastic.
Woo! Where are you at the moment?
I'm in my swanky flat in Chelsea.
Ooh. Oh, bloody hell. That is quite swanky.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And you're here to talk to us today about the play that you're in at the Royal Court Theatre. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's called The Kid Stays in the Picture. It's an adaptation of a memoir by legendary film producer Robert Evans, who made The Godfather and Chinatown and Love Story and Marathon Man and a whole slew of other things. And his life is kind of a roller coaster ride. So it was a bestseller, came out like 20 years ago, and then it was made into a very successful documentary about 10 years ago, and now Simon McBurney and Complicité Theatre Company have adapted it to the stage.
And it's been rejudged.
So we're at the Royal Court, and the Royal Court is hopefully just a tryout. The play's still in development, and we'll see where it goes from there. Barbara Broccoli of 007 fame is the producer,
oh.
as is Patrick McMillan.
I've heard of her, actually, Barbara Broccoli.
cool.
No, yeah, she's the lady that does all the Bond films. Yeah. That's really cool. And
yeah, yeah.
Is this the one of your first times on the London stage? Because you've appeared in like The Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire. So is this your first?
Yeah, it's my first first time working in London.
Ooh. Oh, well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. And
thank you.
And yeah. Are you nervous about that? Are you?
No, not at all. I mean, what was nerve-wracking was the first time we did the audience came in was the first time we had ever ran the play all the way through. That was very nerve-wracking.
Lastminute.com.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, we've been up for a while. Now we got it down. Now we're rolling.
Good.
And yeah. I always like to ask as well, because I especially with live theatre, there's so much that can go wrong and the things that you have to do to overcome those little obstacles of live theatre. So has anything not gone to plan, or has there been any sort of backstage stories?
Every night, something. Tell us a funny story.
What's the worst thing that's happened?
There's nothing funny about it. It's terrifying.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, the first time in the night we had an audience, it was our first run through. I missed an entrance.
Oh, nice.
It was a horrible feeling. And dropped half my lines and didn't pick up enough cues. And then it was a disaster. And then we sort of, the more we ran it, the more we got it down. But nothing too... Nothing humiliating, nothing like terribly embarrassing. Like when I was in The Lion King, which I was in the original company.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
I played Timon, and I have the Timon puppet on, and everyone's mic'd up. And the puppet broke in the middle of my singing Hakuna Matata.
Oh, my God, no.
And it was in the middle of a matinee with a bunch of children.
Oh, no.
And it was hurting me so bad. I finally made it through the number. I got off stage. And before they could turn my mic down, I just said, "Get this fucking thing off me." It went out to the entire audience.
All the kids! Oh my God, you've heard the best story.
Yeah. They still talk about that. They still talk about that one.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's I think it's even better because it's like a Disney play that made the story even better. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So how
but nothing long, like that. Nothing like that for this. Everything's been running smooth.
Oh, this game. This is And for anyone who hasn't been to the Royal, I've been to see the plays at the Royal Court, and
it's
a really good venue because it's not quite in the traditional West End, but it's a beautiful theatre, really
gorgeous.
Big. So how long?
Really, really beautiful.
How long is your run until? When can people come and see you until?
We're there for another week until April the 8th, and we're pretty sold out at this point. But you can still get tickets if you show up the night of.
Oh, yeah, because they do that thing. Yeah, if there's no shows or people do return, so you can turn up and have a drink and wait for a ticket.
Exactly. But the reviews have been phenomenal, so it's really hard to get a ticket at this point.
Yeah,
that's good.
And it's just a short run because it's a tryout, and the intention is to bring it to New York in some capacity.
Mm. Oh, that would be amazing. And how are you liking London? Yeah.
I love London. I've loved it since I first came here when I was a kid. I studied at Lambda, London Academy of Music Dramatic Arts.
Yeah,
love it.
And I loved it then. I've been back a few times over the years. I've always loved London. I've actually been quite a London history buff.
Oh, okay. You're probably better than us about it.
Probably know more than we do.
I still get lost in the centre. Yeah. I'm not that clued up to it.
No.
And where's home for you then when you're stateside?
New York City.
Oh, amazing.
Love it.
That would be my second home if I could. Me too. I love it. I've been there many times and I absolutely love it. And so also just quickly, what have you got coming up next in 2017? What's the year looking like for you?
Well, I'm going to do a film as soon as I get back. And then I'll see if anything picks up after that. I have a I'm waiting to hear about a TV series as well, but I'm starting this when I get home, and then that'll take me for a few months, and then I'll see where I'm at from there.
See what's cooking. God, the life of an actor, I love it because it's so like, it's like leapfrog, isn't it? You gotta like, or like you're constantly,
yeah, you never know what's a. I didn't even know I was going to be coming here when it's just back in November. I just was a complete surprise. I thought I had no idea.
Packed up.
So that's the way it is. Yeah.
I'm off to London. Yeah. Well, that's brilliant. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Max. And just to recap, if anyone's just joined us, it's a play at the Royal Court Theatre called The Kid Stays in the Picture. And who do you play in it? So if people do go along, they can spot you.
Oh, we play everything. I mean, everybody plays everything.
Oh, everybody plays everything.
It's It's Simon McBurney. It's Complicité. So if you know anything about that, you'll know what to expect. It's absolutely unconventional. But I do play people like Francis Ford Coppola and Mario Puzo and Robert Town and all of this sort of people working in Hollywood in the 60s and 70s.
Okay, amazing. So you got to jump in and out of character. Yeah. I can see why that
in and
be...
out of character, in and out of beards and wigs and hats and all kinds of stuff.
Mustache half on.
Imagine if you run in with the wrong with the wrong wig on. Like, what?
Exactly. Right. That's right.
Thank you so much for giving us your time, and I'll let you get ready and start prepping for tonight's show.
Yeah, real pleasure talking to you.
Break a leg, Max. Thank
you. Good luck. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, ladies. Take care now. Ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.
Oh, ciao, ciao.
Ciao, honey.
I wish I could say ciao. I'm not cool enough.
I just tried and failed dramatically.
Live on the radio. Wow, that seems really cool. There's so much going on in the theatre, and you know what? I don't see as much theatre as I would like to see. I want to. There's part of me that would love to be a real theatre buff.
Yeah.
But my wallet says no.
I know. And I think, to be honest, a lot of young people now, I think that they know that we can't really afford it. But, you know, they're doing like £10 tickets, £20 tickets here and there.
Yeah, there's ways.
There's ways that, you know, guys can pick them up and stuff. But it is like you want to go into the West End and see a play and it'll cost you about 100 quid.
Well, I'm desperately trying to go to the Harry Potter play.
Ooh.
But I can't find them for sort of less than 150.
Yeah.
And if you want to go with someone, that's like £300.
That's a holiday.
That really is.
Yeah.
And I can't. No, can't do that yet. So I'm waiting for that to chill out a bit. And then I want to go and want to go and see it. But it's just a shame because there's something about live theatre that's just... I'm always on edge just in case something happens.
I love it.
I do.
It's my favourite. Like, even when, you know, when we were at drama school, I much preferred doing... I mean, I don't bloody do any acting anymore, ever, because I hate it now. But I used to much prefer doing theatre to camera, because me and cameras don't get on anyway. But theatre's just so much more exciting, because if something does go wrong, you know, if you do forget your lines, you are absolutely screwed.
You've got to cover it.
Yeah.
You've got to cover it. And do you remember all through drama school, and I just always forget my lines?
You were good at that, though. Do you remember when... You did a monologue once and said that like somebody had got killed on a sofa or something. What was that about the sofa?
Do you
remember?
Yeah, I absolutely cocked up my showing. So at drama
school.
But none
of us noticed.
Well, at drama school, we did showing. You'd work all the week and then you'd show all the teachers and the rest of the school.
Bloody
hell,
how la-di-da does that sound?
Well,
we did monologues all week.
We showed them off. But we had a showing, and which is like a performance. And I had this very serious monologue from the Laramie Project, which was about finding. It was about finding this...
I'm sorry, I just remembered and I've just wiped my lipstick all over my face.
It was this poor true account of a policewoman who found a murder victim, which it sounds awful. And she says that the lines is she pulled him out from underneath the fence, but I was rehearsing my monologue in the kitchen of the drama school.
She pulled him out from underneath the sofa.
And that's what I said. I Freudian slipped it when I was doing my performance and I said... And I pulled him out from underneath the sofa, which was not... Yeah, and I just lost it and burst out laughing.
Brilliant.
And everyone was like, what's going on?
I want to know if anybody has any stories like that.
Oh, yeah. If you've got any stories of where stuff's gone tits up for you, please do tweet us at Fubar Radio or email in chill@fubarradio.com. Mm-hmm. We have had a tweet, actually, that says, at Fubar Radio, when I was six, my younger cousin and me were playing with sticks and my cousin cut my face open with a stick.
Oh, that must have been about the sword thing.
So that's very close to the Ed Sheeran cutting.
Yeah.
Although I do think, as cool as that story is, Ed Sheeran having his face sliced open by royalty, just a smidge more... Smidge more funny.
I mean, sticks are very good.
But well done.
But it's not a sword, is it?
I mean, me and my brother, we used to play this game where we'd take the back off the sofa or the sofa cushions and pile them up. And then we'd run round the room, try and like leapfrog over the cushions and chase each other round. But I was older than my brother. I had longer legs. I could make it. And he couldn't. And the poor guy, he like was running away from me. tried to like leapfrog over, didn't, landed, and he bit through his tongue. And I just remember
he did that thing. And if anybody's seen Sons of Anarchy, have you seen it?
No.
Oh, well, this will be lost on you. But one of the guys is imprisoning because he doesn't want to talk. He bites his own tongue off by slamming it on the table. No. It just reminded me of that. Yeah. Well, carry
that,
on.
It was pretty much what that exactly that. Yeah. My brother did a Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, bloody hell!
So if anyone else has got any. Any other horror stories like that of what's happened to you or any accidents, we want to know. We'll shout you out at FUBAR Radio. Righty-tighty, let's go for a little bit more music. What shall I go for? Are you feeling Space Jam
yet? I was just about to say, can you put Space Jam on?
Okay, it's one of my favourite films from the 90s. This is the theme tune for Space Jam. Noel would kill me if he knew I was playing this on the air, but fuck it, I love this song. This is Back Row and Chill.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
Space Jam.
Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It is Johanna James and Alexa Wall.
Hi.
And we're joined by our next guest in the studio. So a very huge welcome from the guys from 46 Beacon. It's Oliver and Jay, is that right?
Yes.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
No, my pleasure. Our pleasure. So just to jump straight in, 46 Beacon.
Yes.
It sounds like a secret code word.
I know it does.
It does a bit. It sounds like a spy movie or something.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it does. No, I mean, we are obviously secret agents in disguise.
Yeah.
Not
in disguise anymore. We're just giving that game away. But no, it's a play. It's a brilliant play by Bill Rosenfield on the Trafalgar Studios too.
Your
face then.
I just registered
where
it was.
It's a great space,
It's right in the centre.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's really small. It's only about 90 people.
Yeah, 90-seater. Yeah.
Nice. And we have to get our kit off. So in a small space like that.
What, it's all of it? Scary.
Yes.
Yeah, all of the kit. Yeah, the whole
kit. It's all
kit.
Coming off.
Full Monty.
The full Monty.
What? Because I did see here there's a warning that comes on the PR for this. It says,
there is.
Contains strong sexual content, brief nudity, and musical theatre references.
Yeah, it's got all of them.
I did read that wrong, though, and I read it as contain strong sexual content, musical theatre. No, I'm going to ruin it.
You've forgotten it now, haven't you?
Basically, nudity and brief musical theatre references. I was like, oh, just brief ones. Just very quick references.
There's full on nudity and brief references.
Yeah. We've got it the other way round, unfortunately.
Thing is, though, how do you feel about being actual, like naked?
Do you
though,
sing in the bath as well?
We don't. There's not actually any singing. I mean, there's a minor amount of singing.
Oh, it's just brief musical references.
Literally references. Literally references. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of the job. I mean, I've done it before.
Have you
done
it before?
Yeah, I've done it before. Yeah.
Seasoned pros, then.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it just seems to keep happening. It's a nightmare.
It does seem to come with the territory wherever you go, be TV or theatre.
But it's scary though.
I don't think I could do it. I couldn't at all.
It's quite liberating as well.
Once you've done it once, you
just got to do it all the time.
Exactly, all the time. I go everywhere naked.
It's quite rare that I'm actually wearing clothes today.
Oh my God.
Quite unusual.
I mean, the weather's nice enough.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. As soon as I get out of the studio, I'm just going to strip off.
Why not? Well, the law, but you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, it's not that weird singing in the buff because everyone sings in the shower.
Yes.
I don't.
Apart from you.
Yeah.
The only person in the world.
I don't at all.
Oh, no, I do.
No.
The acoustics.
Wonderful.
I sound fucking good in this show.
Actually, I just did a sketch, because I did comedy sketches aside from the radio, and I just did a sketch with Natasha Bedingfield, a singer. Yeah, she approached me and was like, I want to get in one of your sketches. I was like, cool. And so I sort of came up with one, and I was like, you know when you think you can sing great in the shower?
Yeah.
So it's like me getting in the shower, and suddenly I've got this amazing voice, and I'm like singing Ed Sheeran and Whitney Houston. And then the camera kind of pans round and she's there like cleaning her teeth like morning Halsey, and I'm like, oh shit, it wasn't even me.
It was you all along.
But yeah, just want to like plug myself, but we're plugging you guys. 46 Beacon.
Yes.
That's not spy musical.
Back on topic.
Yes. And how did you guys get involved with it?
Yeah, I auditioned for it about a month. We're only 3 weeks in rehearsal. We're into the theatre next week. So yeah, I auditioned for it, read the script, loved it, thought it was a challenge, and ended up getting the job. So
congratulations!
Thanks so much. Yeah, really proud.
It had a short run before at the Hope Theatre.
It did, for
4 nights. And I think off the strength of that, they decided to bring it into the West End and give it a proper run. And that's how when we became involved with it.
So
yeah, similarly to Ollie, it's a great play.
How many of you are there in the play?
Us two.
Just us.
Oh, just you two.
Two-hander.
Oh my God.
Us two for 90 minutes.
I don't know why I was picturing like a full cast of like nude people like doing the can-can or something.
Yeah.
I went off in my mind.
That's an insight. I asked for the full
compliment
you
of
know,
naked
like
people
smoke
doing the can-can,
machines,
but it was budget restraints.
Right. Shit.
Austerity and all that, innit?
You know? Bloody hell.
They could
Brexit.
They could put mirrors behind you maybe, and then there would be loads
of...
Oh no, because what if anybody like bent over.
That's true. Oh, no
don't
one
put
like,
a mirror
no one
behind.
Needs to see that.
Nobody wants to see that.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's just two of us.
Well, this is very brave. What a brave men.
Yes. Maybe brave, we should come off stupid. The topic of nudity now. Yes. I think we've rinsed
so
that one.
So, apart from being nude, what is the show about?
Well, as we said, it's a two-hander. It's a sort of coming-of-age story, really. It's about Ollie's character, Alan, meets my character, Robert, and he's obviously much younger and more beautiful than I'm, a sort of wizened old hack actor, living in Boston, but British, and Ollie's character's American, and they meet, form a friendship, and have a sort of one night together. So it's a sort of about this night of romance between these two men, but it's also about identity and like coming to terms with who you are and all that deep stuff.
Love it. Absolutely love
one night,
it.
I was going to say one night in Deep Town. I was like, that sounds like a porn. That's
yeah, it does.
But you know what? I was going to say, it's either a spy thriller or 46 Beacon does sound like a sex position.
It does indeed.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Why can we not get off the topic of sexy nudity?
I'm just thinking. I was like, can you imagine? Be like, babe, let's do 46 Beacon.
Yeah. Get yourself in the 46 Beacon.
Assume the position.
I don't know if we've got the equipment in the studio.
Amazing. So a little bit about the two of you before you were doing 46 Beacon positions, because iBoy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm barely in it. I mean, we shot a few scenes, and apparently I've not seen it yet. But our assistant director Joe watched it and said I was in it for one line. So I've got one line in iBoy. Yeah,
that is still that. Yeah, is still
but
a
I'm
line.
Still in it. Do you know what I mean? I'm still.
It's
in the
a credit. Let's not lie.
Didn't get cut all together.
Yeah. No, didn't get cut all together. Yeah.
Well, that's I can sort of almost top that with like cutting room floor story. So my first ever TV movie thing was on Channel 4 like years ago, and I was like the bad guy's girl. So I was in every scene that the bad guy was in, and they liked us to go. They kept giving me more scenes. I was like, this is great. And then when I actually came to Channel 4 studios to see the screening of the thing, they cut it was going to be a 3-part program and they cut it into 2, so they just cut half most of it out, and the only thing that was left in, I had one line, and at the end of the shoot they said, would you be up for doing a sex scene, because we think that you're in it so much and your character's developed, and like, would you? And I was like, yeah, I feel like that would be something that I'd do.
So I feel comfortable.
I did this sex scene, which wasn't just, it was like I was basically shagged up against a tree, and
great. This is a great story.
And
Johanna.
it was the only thing that got kept in the bloody program was my tree shagging, and I got all the family round, all the nans and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm TV nan, and I was like, don't
watch this bit.
I wasn't in it. That wasn't me. But yeah, that I learned a big lesson there. Like, be careful what you do and what you not do.
It's a cruel world, isn't it?
Because
it's brutal.
Cutting room floor.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's happened to me as well. Yeah.
We've all been there.
What is your one line from iBoy?
Yes, please.
I think
tell
it's
us.
Like, all right.
But you do it so well, Ollie.
That
it's
was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you felt that.
Can we have it one more time?
All right.
Nailed it. Nailed
I love it.
It.
Yeah.
If anyone
it.
Doesn't know what we're talking about, iBoy is like a Netflix original movie, a British one, which is one of the first pioneering British. Yeah. Netflix. Is it a Netflix original? I don't think it is.
It is.
I might be making that up.
I think it is.
Is it a Netflix original? Do you know what? I don't know.
It says Netflix original on it on Netflix.
Okay, we're going to go with that.
Because all I do is watch Netflix all the time. So.
There you go.
But it's a kind of a cool concept. It's about a boy who gets shot in the head, but it goes through his iPhone and bits of his iPhone get stuck in his brain.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so then he wakes up and he starts, he's basically got an iPhone. He's got all technology in his brain at his disposal. And then he goes on a vendetta to like take down this gang in London all on his own.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's got a good cast. Rory Kinnear's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Maisie Williams
from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and Bill Milner as well. So it's a great cast, including me
cool.
with my one line. Yeah.
It's cool. It's impressed me. And what about yourself?
Prime Suspect 1973 has been the thing that I've been working on recently.
I had a friend in that.
Who's that?
Nick Nevin.
Oh yeah, I know Nick. Yeah,
he's hosted the show a couple of times with me.
Plays my cousin in it.
I want to watch it really badly. I haven't started yet, but I will. I promise.
Well, it's all just kicked off on Thursday night. It's episode very exciting episode. I gather.
Ooh. I watched the first one looking for Nick.
Right. Oh yeah. And then he comes into the second or third one.
He was like, I'm in every episode apart from the first one. I was like, damn it.
We're cousins. Yeah.
Did you have to shave your head as well?
I didn't have to shave my head. I had to have a very long, ratty wig because I play sort of drug addict and general hoodlum David Bentley, who just sort of limps around. He's got a broken leg, sort of smoking joints and trying to do a bank job.
As you do.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Indeed, in the 70s, with a wig and sideburns.
I love, it might be my dream to do something of a period or a decade or of something. I just think that's so fun. Yeah, it's really fun. Either way,
it's great. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've sort of spent my life perpetually in the '70s because the play 46 Beacon is also set in 1970. So I've done Prime Suspect 1973 and then gone back 3 years. To 1970.
So are you wearing flares?
I'm not. I'm growing the sideburns a little bit though. Just a smidge. Yeah, good.
But.
They suit you as well, yeah.
No, I know, seriously. I bleach my hair and they break off and end up with these.
Brilliant.
Very weird sideburny bits, but we've taken a lane right down.
Yeah.
Back to 46 Beacon. So, when's it on till?
So it's on from the 5th to the 29th of April.
Oh, so it hasn't started yet.
No, next week.
No, yeah, our first preview's on Wednesday.
Ooh, yeah. Exciting times.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I feel like we're ready for it now. We're ready to get an audience and we're ready to sort of crack on, yeah.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, come along.
Yeah, come see it.
Come we're say hi afterwards.
Come. Yeah.
You won't be able to look us in the eye, but you'll be able to
That was a brilliant show. Yes.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
And what else is 2017? What have you got in the pipeline, or you got your hopes to do?
I've got a Sky Atlantic series coming out in September, I think, called Tin Star with Tim Roth and Christina Hendricks.
Tin Star,
yeah. It's about it's like a sort of contemporary Western crime thriller.
I'm sold.
Where Tim Roth plays a police chief who moves to a sort of quiet town in Canada, and his past from London catches up with him.
You've got a lot of American-y roles.
Yeah, this one isn't actually American.
Oh, okay.
46 Beacon is, but actually I play a kid from London.
London, but in an American...
Yeah, but in Canada.
Confusing.
Yeah, I know. It gets ever so confusing. I don't know where I am.
Your accent's going to be all over. Like, I don't really know what
I know. My family won't recognise me. But
can you guys make me a promise that if you forget your lines for 46 Beacon, you promise me that you'll just go...
All right.
That's the code.
You just look each other in the eye.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Yeah, good.
That's going to be like you're saying, you know, to then just jump into something.
You're going
to
Freudian slip that now. You do know that. It's just going to come on.
Do you know what? There is a few, like, all rights in that.
Yeah.
That
oh, play.
Now there's like sort of short little lines like, oh, all right.
Oh,
yeah.
You jinxed it now.
Now we've said it. It's the only thing I'll be able to think about when I say the word all right.
We're going to corpse now.
No, you've ruined my life.
Or you can. Or the other thing is, if you've got to say it, you've got to say it like Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
I love that guy. Brilliant. I'm going to say I met him. I didn't meet him. I saw him physically.
That's the same thing. You know.
In my mind, I met him. Right.
Oh my God! What the hell?
Hey, we're actors. I mean, the thing is, like, if we like glance someone across in a restaurant, then we've worked with them. That's what we say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like everyone, I'm pretty sure, says that all of us say that we can ride horses.
Yeah.
And fence. You know, like, when you go to an audition, can you ride a horse? Of course. Never ridden one in my life.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
No, probably shouldn't say that on radio, but it's true. It's on my CV. I can ride a horse and
exactly,
fence.
Exactly, yeah. All the accents as well.
Yeah.
I checkmated myself with that twice. They said, can you do Scottish accent? Of course.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Scotland.
I then tried to, like, use...
That was my Scottish accent.
What was that?
Scottish.
Oh, that was... Yeah, that was a little bit...
Scotland?
No.
You're going to be really pushing the
I did go to drama school, but I can't do accents at all. That's why I don't act anymore and became a bloody makeup artist.
That's one reason to go that way. Scotland. But, yeah, I said I could do Scottish and I couldn't. And then I thought that... Because there's all the accents on YouTube... There's a very small amount of videos doing Scottish accents on YouTube.
Right.
Someone needs to like help us out, us actors.
Yeah.
How are your Scottish accents?
Not bad.
Do you know what? I've actually had to do one once and it was atrocious. And they actually put it
it's
on the
really
TV.
Hard.
Try and say all right in a Scottish accent.
All right.
Yeah.
That was good. You're good.
Yeah,
well
Jay's
done.
Got it down in one.
Yeah.
What part of Scotland is that? Edinburgh?
Glasgow.
I'll go for a little bit of Stirling, actually.
Oh, yeah. Was it nice? Yeah. I felt that coming through.
Yeah.
I also said that I could do martial arts and I went up for a martial arts role.
Well done.
Wow.
I got to the audition and there was like all these girls. There was a martial arts specialist who was showing the routine that you then had like 5 minutes to learn and then you had to go do it to the panel. I was literally like, I fucked up. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
Wow.
And I didn't do the routine because I forgot it. So I just made up my own routine.
You did like a bit of interpretive dance, like masquerading as martial arts.
And I got a callback.
Did you?
Oh, well,
that was all right.
There you go.
And then I went back again for the next one, and they were like, could you bring whatever weapon you specialise in? I'm like, yes, of course, I'm just going to go into my weaponry. And I kicked a head off a broom and used a pole.
Nice. Wait, literally they said bring a weapon?
Yeah, you're supposed to be martial arts.
I'd just bring a, you know, samurai sword on the tube.
You know, yeah. One of those. Well, I didn't have a sword, so I had a broom. And so I was like fully trained in the broom.
The broom.
And I just like whipped that around, and I ended up landing the job. But it was because the character was supposed to be like a happy-go-lucky, clumsy person. Because apparently the martial arts trainer went, yeah, she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah. So your like incompetence in martial arts got you the job in the end?
In the end, yeah, it did.
Advice to actresses and actors everywhere.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Wing it. Wing the whole thing.
Well, absolutely.
If anyone's just joining us now, we're talking about 46 Beacon, which is going to be appearing at Trafalgar Studios from the 5th till the 29th of April. And there's brief nudity and brief musical theatre references.
Indeed.
As well. So thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
No,
thank
you. Pleasure.
This has been... I feel all... happy.
What are you doing?
Well, I had enough. I like having enough.
It's all the talk about sex. That's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's
not
it.
Sex,
that's
nudity.
Well, what's on your mind?
All sex in my head.
Rory is right, well,
and play
about,
a song.
I think I'm going to play a song called Ooh La La because.
Oh, yes.
Ooh La La. La. Do you remember this?
Ooh La La.
What movie it's from?
I
10
don't
points
know.
If you do. This is Back Row and Chill. Any guesses? Five on Friday. It's Back Row and Chill.
I'm not prepared for this.
Alexa, jump in.
I'm not prepared.
Chair.
I'm not sat down. Oh my God. Carry on.
That's
carry
all right.
On. Carry on.
The show
carry,
must go on.
Carry on. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm just going to stand for a bit.
We've got really high chairs in the studio. You know, Noel always have a problem with his chair. I think that chair is cursed.
Yeah, it is.
It's the cursed chair. Right, we have got our final guest on the show. We're going to be speaking to Sam Groves, who's going to be letting us know all the ins and outs of Flatpak Festival Birmingham. So hopefully they're on the phone. Let's have a little looky. Sam, are you with us?
I am. I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello. Thanks for coming on the show.
A pleasure. How's it going?
Really, really well. It's lovely in London. Whereabouts are you?
We're in deepest, darkest Digbeth. In Birmingham.
Oh, nice. Bloody hell, nice.
I've never heard of Digbus, but that's cool. and you're going to be speaking to us about Flatpak Festival, which I'm assuming is not about furniture.
It's not about furniture, no. It's about film and art in general. It's called Flatpak Film Festival is the actual title. Mm-hmm. But we're kind of a mixed arts festival, more than just a film festival. We have music and performance and installation and exhibitions and that type of thing.
All going on all across different venues in Birmingham?
Yeah, so this year we've got about 20 different venues, and I would say the majority of them aren't really set up for film necessarily. So we're using canal boats, and we're using warehouses and ballrooms and churches and various different types of spaces.
And is there anything sort of particular types? Have you got like shorts and new features that are going to be featuring?
Yeah. I mean, the program's really eclectic. So we've got loads of short films, probably about 200, 250 in total.
Oh, wow.
So we have our short film competition. We have our non-competitive shorts as well. There's loads of them throughout the week. We've got new features. We've got documentaries. We've got old features. We've got medium-length films. We've got film installations. It's a really kind of varied program, and it's quite diverse. But you know, I think there's kind of something for everyone to have a hook with, you know, something for everyone to appreciate somewhere in the program.
And why is it called Flatpak?
So it's kind of inspired by IKEA in a way. We must be the only film festival inspired by IKEA.
Maybe, yeah.
Essentially, when we first started, which was back in 2006, we took over various different warehouses and kind of built up cinema spaces. We took over these empty buildings and created this space for a few days, and then at the end of the festival we just packed it all back down again. And so we have this kind of element that we travel around and we build up and we pack down. So that's where the name comes from.
And I'm just looking through like the PR for it, and there's going to be a David Lynch retrospective, which is going to be the sort of exclusive preview of a new documentary as well.
Yes.
David Lynch, The Art Life.
Yeah, so we've got there's this great new documentary about his life, and kind of starts at the beginning of his life and you know, talks about his inspirations and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. We've also got the UK premiere of the new 4K restoration of Mulholland Drive. We've got an exhibition, which again is in the UK for the first time, which is an amazing thing called Holorama, and it's five different optical theatres which uses this kind of Pepper's Ghost effect, and there's a Twin Peaks element in there.
Nice, yeah.
We're also showing Wild at Heart with Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern. She's from the original Jurassic Park, is that correct?
That's the one.
Oh, I like her.
Same one. She's great.
Yeah. And just for anyone out there and all our listeners who are filmmakers themselves, how would they go about getting their work into the festival or sort of submitting something to be...
So we kind of we take submissions. We open up for next year's festival in the summer. So when this is wrapped up, probably in about July time, we'll open up for submissions. And usually we open up for short filmmakers, so any films which are under 20 minutes.
Okay.
And people can send them to us. We're also open to ideas and suggestions if people have got installations or workshops they might want to do. We're always up for having a conversation with people, so just get in touch with us, really.
And so there is a website which is www.flatpakfestival.org.uk, and I'm assuming that there would be like a contact section there for them to
Yeah, it's just info@flatbackfestival.org.uk. We've also obviously got Twitter, Facebook. I mean, there's
got all the socials
of ways to get through to us. Yeah,
amazing. Yeah. And so it's going to be going on the 4th till the 9th of April in Birmingham. So if you're around the Midlands and you want to get down there, like check out all the socials for the Flatpack Festival. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for sort of shouting that one out, because it's nice to have some festivals, like film festivals, that aren't in London necessarily, because sort of, you know, north of Milton Keynes.
Well, what I would say as well about Flatpack is, I go to various film festivals in London and there's a lot of amazing festivals happening, but Flatpack is definitely distinct. And for people who don't know Birmingham or have a kind of slightly old view of what the city is like, it's actually changed quite a lot and improved quite a lot. And we kind of explore so much of the city and parts which people don't really know about, so it's a good way of exploring Birmingham as well. So it's definitely worth Londoners making the
trip. A little trip. And it's only like 2 hours on the train from London now. It's
not even that, it's like 1 hour 25.
Oh, okay, they've sped it up since I've last been to Birmingham.
Exactly, yeah. Euston to New Street, it's a breeze.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sam, that's brilliant. So
it's
get
pleasure.
On if anyone is interested in the Flatpack Festival, then head over to the website, or we'll probably shout it out on our Twitter, so you can go to FooBar Radio and see that. So thanks so much for getting involved. Have a brilliant weekend and all the best for the festival.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't think I've been to a proper film festival.
There's one in Sheffield actually, which is where I'm from, if anybody wants to
shout
know.
Out Sheffield.
Sheffield, Yorkshire, anyway, so
northern.
I've been sat half on, half off this chair for the past 10 minutes, and now I've got cramps, so I'm just going to like crouch for a minute.
Crouch for a minute.
Yeah, ow.
We'll put a song on, and then you can
exactly.
You can mount
then
up.
I can sit back down again. I'm dying a little bit. What was I saying? Yeah, there's one in Sheffield. It's documentary one, I think. And they always do it at like the independent cinemas. They'll never do it at like Viewers New World or whatever. And just support sort of small filmmakers and student films and stuff. And it's sick. It's really good.
Yeah.
So
I mean, this seems like a good. They seem like they're this one seems really open for for newbies, and that's cool, because I've got loads of I've always had loads of ideas for sort of short films and bits and bobs, but I just don't know where the hell to, you know, you can't put them forward to BAFTA first time around.
Exactly.
Where would you put them?
Cannes.
Straight to the Cannes Film Festival. So this is a really good idea if you are a budding filmmaker, or you've got a little crew that you like making stories. You know, this is potentially a good place to put your stuff. Okay, let's continue with all the music. I think I'm gonna go super girly, and I'm gonna go for a bit of Britney Spears.
Yeah,
because it's the night we're doing 90s teen sort of mega mix.
Love
mega
it.
Hits.
Love
so
a bit of Britney.
This is Drive Me Crazy by Britney Spears from the film Drive Me Crazy, which was from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh,
girl.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
You just
I'll just leave now. I'm off. See
out
ya.
The door. Out the door.
Spin me around. Now the earth is moving.
That was Britney Spears.
Love it.
And I'm just being back to being like a 11-year-old girl there. It's amazing.
Crazy.
I think I was already about 20 at that point.
That's all right. So was she. So it's fine. Do you remember when she was like the Don? It was like Britney.
She really was.
Or you were like, it was Britney or Christina. You were on.
Always Britney.
You're on team.
Either or.
You were. Oh, you were neutral.
Yeah, I was.
Or and I wasn't. That was quite controversial.
I was Britney, but like, there was a part of me, I remember watching Christina, you know when she did her dirty video?
Yeah, that, and, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I just want to be like that. I want to be dirty like that. And I was like, because Britney
I'm
was
12.
Like, I know. I was like,
but that's what I aspired
to. It was one of the first times that I wanted to try and emulate the, you know.
What, with the chaps and everything?
I really wanted a pair of leather chaps. But when in the world would you ever that be ever be acceptable?
Oh, no.
My dad's got some.
Maybe.
Excellent.
Honestly,
it's
genuinely has.
There, then. Yeah. There
my
we
dad's
go.
Got some leather chaps.
I for hope real. He doesn't wear just them.
Oh, God, please don't. That's my dad.
I'm just giving
come
you a visual.
On, please.
Right, this is Backroom Chill. It's Johanna James and Alexa Wall. Hi. And we've been joined by Lucy Patterson.
Hello.
And we're going to be doing some film reviews. So don't be afraid to get involved. If you have a film review that you want to let us know about, we will shout you out. So tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email in chill@fubarradio.com for the next half an hour. Tell us what films you've been seeing, what you want to see. If you've seen anything and it's really shit, let us know, because
they're the best ones.
They are.
Exactly. So has anybody seen, what has people been watching this week in Film Club?
Do you know, I've been really busy this week actually.
Oh, so
I have three things on my list. I'll start with one that I was really excited about actually.
Okay.
Because I do love a bit of nostalgia. The Power Rangers movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
I actually went to see it all on my own and I've just got no shame. I do it all the time. I've got no shame at all. And I was so excited by it. Obviously, we know that the Power Rangers was a TV show when we were kids. 80s, 90s,
90s.
90s. Yep, 90s.
Early
90s. Which was known for being cheesy and over the top and just terrible.
The best thing ever.
Exactly. It was so terrible that you just loved it. And you know what? I was going into the film and I saw the trailer and I got so excited and I thought, actually, I think this is going to be really good. Like, I don't think they're going down the cheesy route. I was so wrong. It was cheesy as fuck and it was brilliant. It was so good. I was laughing, smiling, crying through the whole thing. They even had the song in it.
Yeah.
Only for a little snippet.
I wanted more of the song.
I did. I was
waiting for those guitars to come out and I was going to be like,
I know.
But they kind of subtly put it in there and I was a little bit like,
I know. There was literally me and like about four other people in this massive screen and I was in this row on my own. I thought, I want to get up and dance. Like, I actually want to sing. This is so good, but it's a terrible film.
But brilliant.
But
at the same
brilliant.
Time.
It's one of those things that is just so bad it's good. And you know, even if you weren't alive when the TV show was out and you didn't watch it and you don't know about it, please take your kids to see it. Teach them about Power Rangers.
Everybody needs to know the Power Rangers.
Oh, they really do. And I smell a franchise. I really do.
Well, so what colour did everyone want to be?
Yeah,
what
pink.
For your pink, I was yellow.
Yeah. I was red.
Was
I mean, I know
well,
that was the
leader.
Lead man.
Yeah.
Definitely a man.
I was red or yellow.
I wanted to be the red one.
But
good
I think
for you.
I know.
Amazing.
I mean, tomboy at heart from
totally.
Age like five.
Yeah. I like red because red's the leader, but now my favourite colour is yellow, so I think I would go for the yellow one.
Well, we'd be absolutely fine then.
I know.
Yeah.
Let's start it up. We can be a squad.
There you go.
But what I did like about this film, because I saw it yesterday on my own as well.
Brilliant.
And
I never go to the cinema with people.
I don't. Ever? I do it on my own all the time now.
It's the best thing.
And I went on my own and I went, again, with like an open mind. I wanted it to be good because of my kids' connection to it. But the things that I thought were good about it was the way that it was filmed, obviously, really well.
Oh,
like, in a very modern, like lots of fast editing.
Absolutely.
And sort of Steadicam. And so it looks totally like shit hot. It looks good. And I like the characters that they built up. And the whole film is about how the Power Rangers become the Power Rangers. And kind of the struggle that it is to become the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Because they can't morph until they
until solve they're
that.
Ready.
It's
and
morphing
they're all
time.
Together. Yeah. It took like the majority of the film to get to that point, hence why I said I smell a franchise.
They've set it up and now they can just roll with all the...
And I tell you what I loved, and it actually brought a bit of a tear to my eye. The Blue Power Ranger, he's played by a black guy who is autistic.
Yeah.
And really?
He
Sick.
Actually said, you know, and it's a walking, talking shot, it's a tracking shot, you know, and he's just... it's not a sad moment. Mm. It's not a supposed to be a poignant moment. He's just matter-of-factly saying, I'm on the spectrum. Mm. It means this, it means that, blah, blah, blah. And then just carries on. You know, it's a subject very close to my heart because of one of my friend's sons. You know, he's autistic and I see him struggle, and I'm just so pleased that more and more in the mainstream it's being brought to light, but not brought to light in some sort of tragic way.
No, in a positive way.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. That was a good thing about it.
My little brother is autistic, and that was one thing that I saw, and I was like, bloody hell. Well, one, they gave the main black guy... They cast opposite. He's not playing some cool gangster from the rough side of the streets. Yeah. He was playing a guy called Billy, who is autistic, and he was a bit of a nerd. And they anti-cast him, which I love the fact that they
gave
that. I
thought he was brilliant. He was my favourite thing about the film.
He is so funny as well. Because he's the comments that he was making, matter of fact, and he doesn't like to swear. So he's trying to swear and then he's being like, I don't say that. So he, go to just see this one guy's performance. It's just
amazing.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think if I'm going to nitpick it, I think like the main guy, Jason, could have been hotter.
He could have been a little bit, couldn't he?
He just was a little bit not.
He seemed hot in the trailer.
Yeah.
No, I think they drew on the abs.
Oh, they were impressive, though, I must say.
I think they sprayed those on.
Bit of contouring going on.
Oh, yeah.
And the only other thing is that the two girls looked pretty much identical.
They did, didn't they?
So I thought they could have gone for a bit of different girl.
Yeah, they could.
Like, you know, one of the girls could have been a redhead or a blonde or black or whatever. Like, they could have...
They were pretty identical.
The girls, I think they cut one of the girls' hair off just to make them look a little bit more different because they looked absolutely identical. I was a little bit confused at times.
Yeah,
which
I was too. I know.
I was like, unless they're in their little suits, I don't know which one they are. So, pushing the boundaries. So they've got one of the main guys is autistic and the other is gay. So they've got... They're sort of filling the boots of...
They really were, you know, doing what they should be doing when it comes to diversity and things like that. And, you know, some people might say, oh, that's so obvious. Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
they've done it to include everybody. Like, people need to stop moaning.
Yeah, if you've got a group of five teenagers, more than likely one will be autistic and more than likely one will be gay.
Exactly. Representation.
Woo, love it.
Yeah. So I love that. And also it's a fantastic soundtrack. I've got a couple of songs to play from it because the soundtrack is banging. So I was just like, I went out of the cinema going, yep. Loved it.
Yep, so
go see Power Rangers,
take
people.
Take everybody to see it. It's amazing.
And if you have seen it, let us know at FUBAR Radio on the Twitter.
Yeah.
What else has anybody been watching?
Riverdale.
I know we've all been into Riverdale.
Yes. We love just Riverdale. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to state this on the radio because I loved Zack and Cody. You know, the sweet life of Zack and Cody.
Yes.
And honestly, I'm not even joking. No, but I fancied them then. And have you seen them now?
I know.
He is the most fucking beautiful thing
beautiful.
I've ever seen.
Totally.
Like, literally, that's the only reason I wanted to watch Riverdale because I have never heard of the Archie comics or anything. Yeah. And I was like, well, Cole Sprouse, obviously.
He's him that sort of made me.
Absolutely bloody beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I felt, well, me and my, it was like a housemate, my housemate said, oh my gosh, you've got to watch this show.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. And I got obsessed to watch
it's
the whole
amazing.
Thing. And I told her, I was like, you've got to watch it.
I'd seen it and I was like, oh, Cole Sprouse, Ben from Friends. Oh, I think I will. And I just ignored it. Mm. And then Johanna basically was pissing her pants about it. I was like, okay, I'll watch it. Must
and the
good.
Lead guy is also really
right.
hot.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So if anyone's going, what are they nattering on about. So Riverdale on Netflix is a Netflix original series and it's based on the Archie comics, which were 1950s comics, which they have then updated. So it's got like a 50s retro style, but it's in the modern day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a boy who goes missing in a town called Riverdale. It's very Twin Peaks-y.
Murder mystery.
A little bit Stranger Things style. Really great soundtrack, really great cast. And it's just a drama and a murder mystery and kind of a whodunit. Everybody in the town potentially could have killed this boy.
It's very easy on the eye as well.
It's very, everyone's gorgeous.
Even beyond, you know, how beautiful the cast is, it's so visually pleasing to watch. You
yummy colours.
Yeah, no, it is.
Neon and dark and gorgeous.
All the
lovely.
Shots are beautiful.
Yeah, they really are.
Everyone's well
especially
lit.
Especially the topless ones.
Even you could be outside in a wood and it's so well lit.
Yeah,
this is beautiful.
beautiful. Wow. It is so, but it is polished. That is one thing about it that really stands out. It's really polished, you know.
And it has got the guy from Sweet Life of Zach, one of the twins from the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, and it has got who also played the young Ross's son Ben.
Ben from Friends. Yeah.
I had to show my friend because she didn't know who that was, and I was like, "This is little Ben," and she was like, "Oh my gosh, I feel weird for fancying him." But and to make you feel better, so the main guy in it, we fancied him too, and then we googled him and realised he was 19, and we were like, "Jesus,
wait, what?"
The main guy
he's
in it,
not
KJ Appert, as in the lead dude,
the lead guy,
Archie. He is not fucking 19 years old.
He's 19.
No, oh, for God's sake, I kissed a 19-year-old the other night as well.
You got a problem?
I'm 24.
No, but I felt better. I felt awful. Archie was 19, but then I googled the other one. And he's 24, so I felt so much better.
Well, I'm 34, so I shouldn't really be looking at any of them in that way. But I just don't care. They're all beautiful. They're beautiful.
But the
19. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to bring back this point here.
So he's 19, and his co-star.
He looks very old for his age.
I know, because I was going, look at them casting these 20 odds as teenagers, and I googled him and went, no, he's 19.
No, he actually is
on steroids or something. But he has to kiss his co-star who plays his teacher because he has an affair. With him, a naughty affair with his teacher at the school, and she's
quite sexual, actually, isn't
she?
She's 34.
Oh, sensual.
Is she?
She's 34, so she can get off with him. We can.
Right, well, I'm all right.
Free pass.
Yes.
Free pass.
Also, I've actually got. I realised this on the last episode. You know, Cole Sprouse, so Jughead's dad. He was the really hot guy in Scream.
Oh.
Yeah, he's not aged very well, has he?
No, he hasn't. Neither has Luke Perry either.
He's still quite hot, though.
They're still quite, you know, rugged and, it's a...
I can't remember his name in Scream, but... That's the hot one from Scream.
So that's Riverdale Netflix, also a huge thumbs up from us. And another thing that I watched the entire series of this week and a huge thumbs up from me is Love, the series on Netflix.
Is that the Judd Apatow thing?
Yes, it is. Which I think is one of those things where it's been completely misnamed. There is also another series called Love on Netflix, so it's very confusing.
Yeah,
but this is the one that's by Judd Apatow, who does, he's behind all the,
he's my hero,
he's like, pretty good,
yeah, all those films like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, like all the American
Pineapple Express, all that, you know,
Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill. So if you're into those movies, you'll love you'll love. It's basically about it's about dating in your sort of late 20s 30s, and they absolutely nail the truth of what it's like to date someone or try and be in a relationship with someone. But it's funny because you're laughing because you're like, I know someone like that, or I've actually done that. And it's about a girl who is a bit of a live wire, a bit of a loose cannon, like emotionally. She's also a bit of a sex addict and a love addict.
Oh, and bloody hell.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It's about a guy called Gus.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well,
wouldn't that be nice to me? Yeah, carry on. Sorry.
And it's just a really, really good insight. It's really funny. They've got a really good set of strong characters that they establish quite fast, and then off you go. And so it just... It's very close to home. I love it. And there was the first series. So if you now have two series to binge on. The second series just came out, and it was just as good as the first one.
Excellent.
So I'm trying to get people to say,
I'll watch that.
And people go, look, I don't really want that title. It'll sound shit. Mm. Ignore the title.
I think the Judd Apatow angle, especially people of my age, that man shaped our sense of humour.
Yeah,
he really did. You know, Jim Carrey sort of started it when we were little, but then Judd Apatow just egged us on, you know, in our 20s.
Keep going.
Yeah. So I will definitely watch that.
Yes.
Do you know what I binge watched yesterday?
What?
Ibiza Weekender.
Did you?
Yes.
I cannot stand.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Is his name Jordan?
Yeah.
I cannot stand his fucking face. I hate him. I can't watch it because of him.
Do you know what? I'm just going to tell you.
Go.
I fancy him. Apparently, I fancy fucking everyone today.
Me too.
I mean, I've already said at the beginning of the show that I'm single, so I mean, fucking hell.
Single and ready to mingle.
Apparently. Yeah, I binge watched it, and it is so horrendous that it's really, really good.
Oh, see, I do love stuff like that.
What was it called again? I missed
it. Ibiza Weekender.
And where did you see that?
It was Magaluf Weekender, and then they moved to Ibiza.
What's it about?
Oh, basically, it's like a Geordie Shore-esque type of thing. Mm. So basically, these holiday reps. people come every weekend, hence the weekend title. Yeah. So like two boys or two girls staying rooms next to each other in a hotel, and these people are kind of holiday reps, take them out and kind of all the drama about who's in relationships with who and
who's doing stuff to her.
It's terrible, but it's amazing.
I love terrible stuff like that though, but I just can't stand his face.
Yeah, this Jordan dude is like...
He's seen Sex on the Beach. He's just ruined himself for me.
If nobody knows, Jordan is the guy that went out with Meghan McKenna and was in X on the Beach.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he was in for. I think he was famous for Magaluf Weekend.
He was before he went
famous
in X on the
very
Beach.
Loosely.
Yeah. Reality TV famous.
Slightly known. Yeah.
Do you know what? Reality TV is something that I don't watch a lot of telly, and that is... I just don't know who anybody is in that world. I'm more on the movie...
I only watch TV for reality TV. I don't watch anything else.
I don't.
The rest of the time I'm watching films.
Do you know what? This is so sad. I watch Made in Chelsea, Geordie Shore, X on the Beach, Ibiza Weekender,
Towie.
What else is there? Watch all of them.
Do you know what? I got hooked on Made in Chelsea a while, because I started to watch it to take the piss out of it, and then I got genuinely hooked.
Yeah,
and then I watched it this week.
That's how it starts.
It's back on again, isn't it, this week? So I put it on, and my boyfriend was there, and he was like, "What is this rubbish that you're watching?" Anyway, it was on in the background, and then I noticed him watching it. And then
that happens all the time with boys.
And then I went, "I thought that you didn't like watching this." He goes, "Yeah, but you know, I only like it when they're shouting and stuff." And I was like, "You're gonna get hooked, mate. One more week."
That happens all the time with the boys. I live with my friend Baz, and he, before he moved into my house, didn't watch any of it. I'm watching that shit. He's absolutely hooked on it now. And we have to actually wait for each other to be able to watch
it. No way. Have you ever sneakily watched it and pretend you haven't? Because I have done that.
No, he does.
Are you
all
one of those?
The time.
I've done that, where I've
That's
sat in
terrible.
My room and watched it as soon as it has come out. Yeah. And then they're like, "Have you watched it?" I'm like, "No, not at all."
He does that all the time. Mm. That's terrible. You two
Secrets
should be friends.
You're on live radio now.
Oh, God.
Out.
Oh, shit. Sorry, everyone.
Right, just before we come into land, I've got a bit of news for what's coming up in the future. So what's been released? So Batgirl the movie has been greenlighted, and it's going to be directed by Josh Whedon, who did Avengers, obviously, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So Batgirl is
right
coming out.
The job.
Also, the trailer has dropped for Stephen King's It, which I'm not a horror person, but I saw the trailer and went, "Oh, I have to watch this."
Do you know what? I haven't watched it and I can't. No. I love the original miniseries so much. Mm-hmm. I still watch it now. I know every word, every sound, every movement in it. I am that person. And I am so concerned that if I see a trailer, I'm going to think, "No, fuck this, I don't want to watch it."
No, it's a really, really fucking good trailer.
It's good.
I'm going to avoid it.
It's got the boy from Stranger Things in it.
I know. I know all these good things about it. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to avoid the trailer. I'm going to go to the cinema and watch it. I don't want any preconceived...
Actually,
this
I get
gonna
you.
Be shit.
Well, I was going to play the trailer right now.
Well, I can't see it, so that's fine.
But just a little like factoid. So when I did a bit of research about it, so Pennywise the Clown is played by Bill Skarsgård, who is Alexander Skarsgård's brother.
They're getting all over the place, the Skarsgårds.
And Stellan Skarsgård. God's son.
Yeah.
He was in fucking... Oh, I keep swearing.
True Blood.
Carry on. Yeah. I'm just going to think about this.
Well, Bill Skarsgård, he is 26, and he was a lot younger
he's
than
really
I thought
hot.
Of the clown to be. And apparently, he came in and he did an amazing audition, and his performance is being compared to Heath Ledger's.
With the Joker?
The Joker.
Wow.
Yeah.
They said that statement.
They saw lots of people for the role, and apparently he came in and he did something totally different, and he twisted it.
Wow.
And they went, he just freaked out all of the producers, and they were like, "That's the one."
He was in that Netflix program that was really weird. Oh, he was so good in it as well.
What, Bill Skarsgård?
Yeah.
Google it. But do you know what? A little factoid here. Who was cast as the clown before? Because he wasn't the original.
I know, yeah.
Will Poulter.
Yeah.
Really?
See, facially, I can see him being Pennywise, and I was really pleased with that decision. But what I've read, and I have looked at Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. Mm-hmm. I have looked at the picture, like just a still. And I must admit, he scared the shit out of me. So obviously,
person. He scared the shit out of me because I saw him first as Pennywise, and then I saw what he looked like on like Wikipedia, and I was like, "Oh, he's hot."
Yeah.
Oh, this is confusing.
Yeah, it was Hemlock Grove for anyone
I never saw
watching
that.
And look how absolutely stunning he is.
Oh, beautiful those eyeballs.
I'm completely confused now. I'm going to have weird pervy dreams about clowns.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to hold this. Do you think we could get married?
I think you make a beautiful couple.
Can we get married now, please? Bill, where are you?
Come on, Bill.
Billy. Hello. Go look in some drains. He'll be hiding under there.
Don't, I actually will.
And just finally, Netflix have announced that they're going to be doing a revamp of Lost in Space. A full series, which is the, if anyone doesn't know what that is, it was a big series in the 60s. It was also a movie in the 90s, which had Joey from Friends being not Joey from Friends.
And was ripped a new arsehole by every critic.
By every, but as a child, I enjoyed it because it was a space movie.
And it was Joey.
But yeah, so it's about Robinson family who get lost in space, as the title says.
Funny that.
And it's but being produced by the main people who did Prison Break. So
they're not my friends at the moment.
Oh, why not? You don't
because
know.
Why? How are they making a new Prison Break? The end of the last one. I won't spoil it for anybody.
Somebody spoiled it for me, and I've never seen it.
I'm just not having it, and I'm not going to watch it.
Somehow they're going to revive.
I don't know.
Maybe magical fairy dust.
Probably.
Who knows? So I'm excited for that because I do love a little space adventure. And so that's what's coming out there. So super excited. I'm just going to quickly play the It trailer for Stephen King's It because I really think it's good. And if you want to see the visual of it, make sure you go to Google or YouTube. Whatnot and whatever.
I can't believe it's Bill Skarsgård.
We're going to sit here and perv over Bill while you guys can listen to this. Yeah. Here we go.
There you go. She's all ready, Captain.
Thanks, Billy. Any time I've ever been in before. People die or disappear 6 times the national average. And that's just grown-ups. Kids are worse. Way, way worse. We all float down here.
I saw something. There was this
clown. I saw him too.
Look, it's all connected by the sewers. That's where it lives. What happened?
Trailer for the new movie It. It looks really, really good. Right, we've come in to close.
That was hell.
Thank you so much, ladies, for a fantastic
Thanks
show.
Thanks for having me.
Hope everyone has a fantastic weekend.
Yes.
And I'm going to end with my favourite song from the new Power Rangers movie because this song comes up at the end and I had to stand up and dance to this because it's brilliant. This is Give It All by Santi Gold and Vince Staples.
Bye, everyone.
See you next week. Thank you all. Sexy.
So we all come to meet. One fall down, but together we are great.